I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. I may need some of you today. For those of you who are in love with a party or a politician, you've got some explaining to do today. We'll get to that in just a little while. I hope everybody had a nice Christmas. I don't know if Christmas this year was so much about the birth of Jesus or celebrating times with friends and families, and as much as it was, did you celebrate a fully compliant Christmas? I've got a tweet. A tweet from Thomas Dobbs I'll get to in just a second that was just, he's a hysterical shrieking woman at this point. No offense, ladies. I'm going to do my quotes of the day first today. This is one I can certainly understand. This is by David Hume. He said, "Nothing is more surprising than the easiness with which the many are governed by the few." And that's what I say. We all sit out here and gnash our teeth at what goes on in the halls of Congress with 535 guys and gals, a president and a vice president, 537, not the swiftest people in our society. We allow them to dictate the financial future, the day-to-day activities of 330 million people. It is a true head-scratcher to me why we allow that to happen. I understand how it happens. The two-party system keeps you each in your corrals, but it is pretty amazing. There's a couple of quotes I ran across by Gore Vidal. He said, "You know, I've been around the ruling class all my life, and I've been quite aware of their total contempt for the people of this country." Gore Vidal also said, "The genius of our ruling class is that it has kept a majority of the people from ever questioning the inequity of a system where most people drudge along paying heavy taxes for which they get nothing in return." Drudge along, paying heavy taxes for which they get nothing in return. It's going to be very interesting. Should Joe Biden become our next president? I know that's still a controversial topic at this particular point, but I remain unimpressed so far with any efforts to overturn the election. And if Joe Biden does become the president, Jim Thorne last hour read some of the things he plans to do on his first day in office. I'm going to be very interested. I might actually have more people interested in the idea of what you're paying taxes for. A lot of patriots just didn't really question. See, because socialism under Joe Biden is not going to be popular with Republicans and conservatives. Socialism under Republican presidents and Republican Congresses seems to be okay with people. So at least I'll have some more people. I won't be near as lonely here during a Biden administration as I consistently, not hypocritically, as I consistently point out the problems with the Joe Biden presidency the way that I've been pointing out the problems with a Trump presidency. See, I won't have to change. Everybody else will have to change. And, of course, I'm going to talk today about the fact that Donald Trump did last night. The markets are off to the races again today because Donald Trump did last night sign the spending bill that Congress gave him. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. I wanted to mention this. This is Thomas Dobbs' tweet he sent out. I think this was Christmas Eve. Thomas Dobbs sent out a tweet. Here it is. "Please beware of the," and this is all caps, "silent super spreader," all caps, "at your holiday table. Please beware of the silent super spreader at your holiday table. We catch COVID from people we love, people we know. It could be your cousin, your best friend, your nephew. It could even be you!" Exclamation point. Now, look, There are a million ways this could have been said. But to put into the minds of people heading into a holiday, a time of rest, relaxation, and having some fun as you gather with people, to make everybody weary of everybody they see during the holiday as a silent super spreader is just hysterical language. And this is from a person who's never missed a paycheck. This is somebody who believes that COVID-19 is the only thing that matters right now. Nothing else matters. Relationships don't matter. Earning a living doesn't matter. Mental health doesn't matter. It's all about this one little virus that is survivable about 99.97% of the time. This was a clip on an NBC show that really, I think, adequately describes by accident exactly what we're seeing when it comes to COVID-19. There's a lot of talk now about herd immunity. The WHO, I believe it was it the WHO that's changed their definition of herd immunity? It used to be if enough people were exposed to the virus, they built up a natural antibodies to it, and the virus would snuff out the way it's done all throughout human history. They've recently changed that to say that really the only way you get there is through a vaccination program. Large numbers of people have got to get vaccinated to get herd immunity. We're not playing. Apparently, virus and virology has completely changed over the past 6 months. Anyway, the idea of a herd immunity is now based completely on the vaccine. This woman stumbles into a point that I make here constantly.
There are some folks out there who say we will never really have a foolproof vaccine. Is that true, and what does that mean, doctor?
Not every vaccine is 100%, but if it's 90%, if it's 95%, if it's 99%, that's good enough to induce what we call herd mentality.
I love those slip-ups. Yes, it is certainly enough to induce herd mentality. If herd mentality is what we need to have in this country to get through coronavirus, we're there. We've been there for decades. Herd mentality is what has led us to where we are right now. And herd mentality around coronavirus is most certainly there. There was another story. Face masks reduce the risk of spreading large COVID-linked droplets when speaking or coughing by up to 99.9%. According to a lab experiment with mechanical mannequins as human subjects, researchers said on Wednesday. So this story came out last week. I guess to this I would say, duh. But see, the idea of everybody being masked up is not about a sick person expelling large droplets of this stuff. I don't know. I did sneeze on a woman at a burger joint a couple of years ago in a truly horrific scene. I stood up, I had my tray in my hand, and I turned, and I could, you know, I had my tray with my drink and everything. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't put my hand up. I couldn't cough into the crook of my arm. I had this tray. So I just turned to my left over my shoulder and just sneezed right as a woman was walking past me. I don't think our faces were 6 inches apart. I would probably have been jailed for such an accident these past few days. If that woman is listening and remembers this encounter, I'm still so sorry. We both looked at each other with complete horror. If she only knew what all I do to safeguard my health, I might have made her healthier by sneezing on her. But we're up to speed on what the masks are, but this is just one of those little subtle propaganda things. Look at this. If somebody spits in your face, it's better to have a mask on. Well, yeah, duh. But I thought this thing was aerosolized. I thought that was the whole problem. That's why everybody has to wear a mask all the time. That's why Thomas Dobbs says there's a silent super spreader at your kitchen table during Christmas. And this is just more ridiculous, absolute, just propaganda on the mask front. And you know, it has gotten to the point now. Look, I'm anti-mask on the most basic level, which is freedom. Inform us about a disease, tell us what the deal is, give us your science on masks from both sides, because there's a lot of opposing science, I've read it here on this show, that say masks don't work. Give us everything, let us parse through it and make a decision for ourselves. That is the most basic human right you've got, which is what to wear, for the love of God. So I oppose it on that level by itself. I don't like anything where a politician mandates something in the United States of America doesn't seem consistent with the Constitution that is supposed to enshrine our personal liberties. But of course, we drop all those things as soon as Thomas Dobb hysterically shrieks, "Silent super spreader!" But by now, the evidence is so overwhelming that masks don't work that I seriously question Tate Reeves' intelligence at this point. I certainly question his thinking. Yeah, I question Tate Reeves across the spectrum at this point. I mean, politically, he's hurting himself. There's not a benefit to anything that Tate Reeves is doing with his ridiculous picking and choosing mask mandate counties on a day-by-day basis. Oh, we're adding 20 counties. We're subtracting 18 counties. Oh, we've added 24 counties. Currently, 74 counties have got mask mandates. I question him politically. I question his intelligence to look around the country and see that Florida is not having a worse problem than Los Angeles, California. South Dakota is not having a worse problem than New York. That there is absolutely no evidence that, regardless of even the studies, just the real-world experience of the last 9 months, 10 months, has shown us that mask mandates do not work. And yet Tate Reeves soldiers on, county by county, rubs his chin every day looking at the statistics with Thomas Dobb pointing things out to him. "You've got to issue a mask mandate for Copiah County. Quick!" Oh, unbelievable stuff. All right, I'm going to move on to this bill that President Trump signed last night. And there are a lot of Trump defenders that may or may not still be in my audience. I'd like you to explain to me why the Republican socialism is so much better than the Democrat socialism. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Before I get into Donald Trump signing this absolutely disgusting spending bill, he is now 4 for 4 on signing massive spending bills. For some reason, this year, everybody got really incensed about the foreign aid. I guess it's because America is suffering so bad, but I don't know if you've noticed. We haven't had money in this country for decades. We have been racking up record amounts of debt with every administration, and the foreign aid has just continued to go. We have seen a disappearing middle class in this country, and the foreign aid has always flowed. So at least, I guess, Trump saying something at least clued some people in. Now, I've talked about it on this show for quite a while, but I want to get to something real quick before I get into him signing this horrible bill and allow everybody to call in and tell me why it's a genius move and how it was so smart to do it. And yeah, but he said he wants to invoke this 1974 ruling, and he lined out some things, and now Congress has to act, all these other hopium things that you're involved in. You'll have a platform here to talk about them. But I wanted to explain something. I ran across a clip. If nothing else, this show, if you do give it the time and the consideration, then I hope that listeners to this show will have a broader context, a broader base of knowledge of to what has happened to the United States as we slide into socialism, because more and more people are dunked into poverty in this country. And I ran across this Kevin O'Leary. He's the Mr. Wonderful on the Shark Tank, if you've ever seen that. He's the kind of rude, obnoxious, bald guy on the panel, kind of the bad guy. You know, every panel's got to have its tough cookie, American Idol, whoever it is. He was talking to I think this was on CNBC. Actually, no, this is an interview with Kitco. But he mentioned something about American people and retirement savings that is just an absolutely stunning statistic. And I'm going to explain it to you and how it ties to this latest, greatest, horrible spending bill that Trump just signed.
Should he be investing? I know that's a very broad question. I mean, philosophy
well,
of what...
I think you've hit on a huge issue in America today. There's 100 million people that have nothing set aside for retirement. They have no investment account. That is a failure of financial literacy that started as far back as the 70s. We never taught kids in high school. We teach them reading, math, geography, sex education, nothing about investing, nothing about debt, nothing about credit cards. Huge mistake. One of my initiatives for 2020.
So he goes on about financial literacy. But did you hear that statistic that he gave? 100 million Americans have nothing set aside for retirement. Now, unless that just includes children, babies, then that's a very telling thing. Now, he attributes this to financial literacy, and I would certainly not argue that point. We don't teach financial literacy in this country, and the reason we don't is because the American system is built on debt. Governments rely on debt. Corporations rely on debt. And the American consumer has been convinced to take on debt to try to keep up their standard of living in this country. And so financial literacy would be very inconvenient to our society and our consumerist nature. But one of the worst things about it, and what people don't understand, and what I hope I can bring to the airwaves just in my small little corner of conservative talk radio, is the reason that 100 million people don't have access to retirement funds, the reason that it's something like 68% of people can't handle a $500 emergency, the reason that these things happen is because of rampant inflation in our society that has been going on since the 1970s when they took us off the gold standard. And this is all at the hands of the Federal Reserve, which is printing up massive amounts of money, much of which Trump just signed off on. The thing leading us all into this debt is not just financial literacy. Most people at least get the basic idea that I should squirrel away a little bit of money for a rainy day. I should save a little bit of money for my retirement. Now, are most people really dedicated to that? No, it's a difficult lift. We're we're hoarders. We're a nation of hoarders, always buying more stuff. We just probably saw the greatest example of it during Christmas, where a lot of people buy people that they don't really like, things that they don't need with money that they don't have. But the reason that life has gotten more difficult, the reason that the middle class is slipping, the reason that people don't have money in retirement accounts to retire, this is truly is a crisis. It's not just financial lack of financial education on the savings and investing side, but on the economic side, which tells you that if the Federal Reserve prints up trillions and trillions of dollars every single year, it makes every dollar you have worth a little bit less. And then it takes more of those dollars to pay for the necessities that you need in your life, not leaving anything else for things like retirement savings, emergency savings, these kinds of things. We've just seen an incident where we're all told, right, keep 6 months of your baseline expenses as an emergency fund, right? Dave Ramsey famously talks about this, and he's right. This is kind of the 3 to 6 months of expenses. Keep it in a safe account. But we've seen things like the airlines here in the United States have just bought back $48 billion of their own stock over the past few years. They couldn't make it 1 month before they needed a bailout at the beginning of this year because of coronavirus. They didn't set aside. They spent that money to goose their stock options, to get their executives their bonuses. They're not saving any money. These are Fortune 500 companies, right? Some of the biggest corporations on planet Earth. And it is because they have access to free, basically zero interest rate money. They can always just borrow a little bit more if they need to. And so the most nefarious tax out there, the thing that is truly eroding the savings power, the prosperity of the American people, probably the most regressive tax, too, because the poor, their food costs go up exponentially to them. Wealthy people don't really see small food increases, 5, 10% grocery. A human being can only eat what a human being eats. But if you're on a limited budget, then more and more of your money is taken up in food and insurance and college tuition. Seen this debt explode at the college level. So financial education for savings and investing is certainly lacking. But if people do not stop to understand, all you Trump supporters that are going up to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, can you please convince people to go by the Eccles Building, the Federal Reserve, if you really want to make a change? Because Donald Trump ain't made that change you think he has. And I'm about to get into that. I'll let you call in and tell me where I'm wrong. Swing by the Federal Reserve Building. Start to educate yourself around the fact that the inflation, the reason I bring it up as a prequel, an introduction to this massive spending bill that Trump just signed, is because it is exactly this kind of spending bill that forces the Federal Reserve, well, it doesn't force, they're happy to do it, to print up a bunch of money to make your savings worth less and less. And to all you seniors out there that are getting half of 1% on your savings now, meaning the corporations can borrow at half of 1% and you only get half of 1%, you should be outraged. But you won't be, because it was Donald Trump calling for the low interest rates this time. You were probably mad at it when Obama was doing it, but there's consistency to the show that is probably inconvenient to people. All right, when I come back, 601-879-0002, we're going to go through Trump signing this bill. You tell me why I should be happy about it. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Because people who are Trump supporters, you got some splaining to do to Mike Madison. I just don't understand things. I'm so annoyingly consistent about not liking government spending and socialism and things like that. I know it is annoying. I apologize. I can't help it. It's just I'm wired that way to not be a wild hypocrite when it comes to how I view things that take place on the political level. I want a small, limited government and just a boatload of freedom. And apparently I'm supposed to only want that when a Democrat's in office and just take whatever I can get when a Republican's in office. That's the MO I'm supposed to adopt. Last night, Trump sent out a tweet. Good news on COVID relief bill, information to follow, ! And you know what followed. Trump signed the bill. And I'm going to read a little bit out of his release about this. There was speculation that he might pocket veto when Americans rightfully last week started getting outraged, particularly about foreign aid, $10 million to Pakistan for some gender study. I went through the spending last week, but see, here's the consistent thing about the Mike Madison Show you won't get anywhere else. Trump is 4-for-4 on signing these horrible bills. I remember the first one he signed, and I played a clip at the time where he came out and he said, I don't like it. I don't like this big bill with all this pork in it. Let me tell you right now, I'm not signing another one. And I knew immediately at that point, I went, oh, yeah, you will. And Trump is now 4 for 4. He's signed every spending bill. Trump has sent as much foreign aid to these other countries as anybody else. Maybe one country got a little bit less and another country got a little bit more. We know Israel's taken care of every year. This foreign aid is not going anywhere. So people rightfully got very upset about that, with as much pain as our own government has inflicted on the American people. You should be outraged at the foreign aid, but you should have been outraged about it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But at least finally maybe people wake up. But now it'll be okay because Trump signed the bill, and now somehow, let's go to get into it. Here's the beginning of Trump's signature thing that really set me off. Quote, "As President of the United States, it is my responsibility to protect the people of our country from the economic devastation and hardship that was caused by the China virus." Whew. There's a lot just in that first sentence, that open sentence. First of all, it's not the responsibility of the President of the United States to protect people of the country from economic devastation, strangely enough, wrought on us by other American politicians. The president's job, along with everybody else that has taken the oath, is to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. There's no provision in there to say, and make everybody whole if something happens. And the hardship, the economic hardship in this country was not caused by the China virus. It was caused by good old red, white, and blue American politicians and bureaucrats who have overreacted to it and hyperventilated about a virus, that have used Donald Trump's emergency declaration back in March over this virus. They have used his emergency declaration that for some reason he will not withdraw as a justification for their own emergency declarations, which gives them these powers to pick and choose stores to open and close, pick and choose the hours we can move about society, pick and choose what facial coverings we're forced to use. But it drives me, I'm sorry, it's just a pet peeve of mine. Anytime a president says it's his responsibility to protect the people from economic devastation, it most certainly is not. And this bill does nothing but assure economic devastation to our children and our grandchildren. So all he's doing is picking winners and losers. He goes on to say, "I understand that many small businesses have been forced to close as a result of harsh actions by Democrat-run states." Of course, this is, you got to keep it in the political theater realm. Make sure it's all a Democrat problem. It was his emergency declaration. It's his guy, Anthony Fauci. It's his girl, Birx, who have led us down this. It's his CDC director, Renfield. It's his Surgeon General. All of them that have been cheering on all of these horrific restrictions on people's freedom, particularly in the small business community. But no, just blame the Democrats. It's just the Democrats. This is all a Democrat thing. It's just the Democrats, because that keeps you in line. He says, "Many people are back to work, but my job is not done until everyone is back to work." Wow. When did the presidency get to that level of power? We now have a President of the United States that actually can micromanage every single person back to work. Well, if you want to do that, Donald Trump, instead of passing a giant socialist bill like what he just passed, it's a giant welfare bill. It's welfare to the airlines. It's welfare to Israel. It's welfare to the weapons manufacturers. It's welfare to the airlines. It's welfare to the American people. It's welfare to the unemployed. This is a massive welfare bill. If you really want to get people back to work, lift your emergency declaration. There's probably about six of them layered on us right now. We're still operating under some kind of emergency powers related to 9/11 and maybe some from the Kennedy assassination. Lift that thing and let people start taking it out on their politicians. We spent a lot of time last week talking about what's in this bill, the spending that is in this bill. It's a beast, a monster. Now, I know what people are going to say. Well, let's go back. Let's go through the statement just a little bit more. Fortunately, this is Trump's statement on this. Fortunately, as a result of my work with Congress in passing the CARES Act earlier this year, the first welfare bill, we avoided another Great Depression. I don't know if he's seen the food lines. Kind of feels like we're there right now. And I pointed this out many, many times, too. You understand that the images of the food lines back in the 1930s during the Great Depression, those things have been going on each and every year, basically on a daily basis in the United States, but it's been EBT cards, so you don't get to see the lines. It is Americans who cannot feed themselves without the government handout. And so instead of a long line of men in trench coats and fedoras standing in line for bread in the 1930s, now we just have this stealth food line each and every year in the United States where the federal government sends out these EBT cards so that people can eat. And now you tack on top of that the food lines that we're seeing right now. We're in another Great Depression. We're just trying to paper over it with freshly printed money, which is going to make it even worse. He says, under my leadership, Project Warp Speed has been a tremendous success. My administration and I developed a vaccine many years ahead of wildest expectations, and we are distributing these vaccines and others soon coming to millions of people. Gee, thanks. Donald Trump rolled out an experimental vaccine. We are seeing the largest trial on human beings in the history of mankind, and I guess he gets credit for it. Now, he goes on in here, and this is what a lot of people will cling to. And again, I'm encouraging you to give me a call, 601-879-0002, so I can understand why I'm not supposed to be upset about Donald Trump signing this bill. Now, last week, people thought, well, it looks like he's gonna veto it. He came out in the strongest terms talking about the pork in this bill. Again, he's already 3 for 3 on signing pork-laden bills the last 3 years. What made you think he was suddenly going to veto this thing? You just didn't care about the pork in the last 3 bills that he signed? Oh, he protested a little bit on the first one. The second and third just went by with nary a peep. And now, when there was outrage, justifiably by the American people, Donald Trump read the political tea leaves and went, ooh, I better get out there and make a statement how I don't like the pork either. Here's the tricky little thing, though, the tough part about this, the tough part to admit to yourself. Donald Trump was involved in putting this bill together in the first place. I'm going to read to you from Thomas Massie tweet that I read to you last week. This is Thomas Massie, a Republican congressman who was against this spending bill, who voted no on it, who has true outrage about it because he always goes against these big spending bills. This is what Thomas Massie tweeted last week. Could our founders have imagined a dystopian future where the U.S. Treasury Secretary, that is, the former Goldman Sachs banker that Donald Trump put in at the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin. This is not Thomas Dobbsey. Thomas Dobbsey. Thomas Dobbs is in my head, isn't he? Thomas Massie said, could our founders have imagined this dystopian future where the U.S. Secretary of Treasury gets on a Sunday conference call to tell Congress about the legislation he wrote for them to vote on that night, because that's what's going on right now. Donald Trump told his Treasury Secretary to work with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to put this bill together in the first place, so that does not give him a pass to come in once the American people get outraged about it and act like he had no idea. Oh my gosh. He was so shocked that there was pork in this bill. Now, there was pork in the last 3 he signed, too. He didn't say anything about that. Well, he did the first time, not the next 2 times. But to act like he was somehow stunned that it was only a $600 check. It was his Treasury Secretary, the former Goldman Sachs banker that he put in charge of our Treasury, that negotiated this bill and, according to Thomas Massie, wrote it. So I don't give Donald Trump the pass to come out and act like he's just stunned. Oh my gosh, what did they do? Did you ever see the Office episode? If you're a fan of The Office, Michael Scott, you know, the NBC thing. And Michael Scott gives picking a new health plan to Dwight Schrute, kind of the Office villain. And Dwight Schrute goes in there and just rips this thing apart. Gives the employees terrible health care because, well, Dwight Schrute is a jackass. And then Michael Scott comes out and says, he did what? I can't believe you did that. Oh, well, it's too late to change it now. I should play that clip. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. The Trump administration was at the heart of this spending bill. Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, knows that Israel gets $3.3 billion. He knew that Pakistan was going to get $10 million for gender studies. He knew we were going to send almost $500 million more to Ukraine on top of the $400 million Trump already sent to Ukraine. Not to include all of the lethal weapons to make sure that we can possibly kickstart a war with Russia over Ukraine at some point in the future, too. He knew about this. Don't let your love for Donald Trump blind you to every single thing, because this is an easy one to be mad about. This is an easy one that shows you there is no difference in D.C. There was no swamp draining. There was no structural change to Washington, D.C. And you are bankrupting future generations by supporting this man and every man that's come before him. Not to mention, here's what's truly amazing about this. It is so fun. This is a Republican signing the bill, and he's happy about it. Now, we'll talk when I come back about the fact that he's instructed them to change some things in it. You think that's going to happen? What kind of leverage exactly do you think that Donald Trump has to make Congress change any of these spending things? Now, you know who has leverage? The American people. If we all got on the phone and said, hey, quit spending future generations' money, knock off all this foreign aid. If we started to do that to our Congress critters, maybe, but Donald Trump doesn't have a lick of leverage to get this thing changed on the backside. But here's what's so amazing to me as I watch conservatives and Republicans, conservatives I'm air quoting here in the studio at this point, bending over backwards to try to defend this. I have seen people call this a genius move because he has invoked this Impoundment Control Act of 1974. Is there anything you won't believe at this point? Here's the amazing thing, what a Republican has just done with a Republican Senate. And of course, I mean, I'm not as mad at the Democrats because they tell us they want socialism. It's easy for me to oppose that. I'm not going to shock anybody that Nancy Pelosi is for some pork-laden bill, am I? But it is news that Republicans are on board with this stuff. This bill is a massive wealth redistribution plan. Now, where have you heard wealth redistribution? What kind of political systems and ideologies employ wealth redistribution? Now, we do this every single year, I know, but this is a biggie. This is a biggie because even these little $600 checks, and I'm sure they're going to bump this up to start get the printing presses going to maybe get these up to $2,000 in the next few weeks, another $1,400 check or however they'll handle this. But if you make over $95,000, you get nothing. So what it is, what everybody should do, because I'm very big on this show of making sure that everybody gets thanked, like I'd like to thank you on the behalf of the government of Ukraine and the government of Israel and the government of Pakistan. Thank you, taxpayer, for working so hard, for getting up every morning and working those first 4 or 5 hours of your day just so you can hand over money to foreign governments. Thank you. See, somebody needs to thank you. I've taken it upon myself. The airlines. Now, they're not going to give you a free ticket or anything like that, but they do want to say, hey, thanks for the $45 billion you've given the airline industry. Thank you. You're still going to get the crappy meals. You're still going to get treated like cattle. We're not going to give you any free tickets, but thank you. Thank you for the $45 billion because we were really just blowing a ton of money on stock buybacks and we would have been in some big trouble if you hadn't ponied up. So thank you to the American taxpayer. But each one of you out there who gets a check that you're excited about, well, at least it's $600, at least it's something, and Trump's going to get it up to $2,000, make sure you go out and you find that friend of yours or that relative of yours that makes over $95,000 and shake their hand and tell them thanks for the wealth redistribution. Thanks for taking money out of your pocket and giving it to me. Because that's what this is. This is the upper income earners paying their taxes dutifully because it's the patriotic thing to do. And having a giant chunk of that stuff taken from them where they will see nothing and just hand it out to a bunch of government employees, for example, that are making $60,000 a year, that have not missed a single paycheck during any of these lockdowns because, you know, they're, air quotes here in the studio, essential. You've got a bunch of entrepreneurs out there making more than $95,000 a year that will see nothing but the government employee that hasn't missed a single paycheck for all of 2020. And I would imagine they got their cost of living increases too, plus their benefits and their insurance and their pensions. They're going to get $600 or $2,000 check. For what? For nothing. But again, 601-879-0002, if I'm missing something, and this was a genius bill for Donald Trump to sign, I'm all ears. All night
with the King. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, I've only got a couple of minutes in this hour. I'm going to continue a little bit on this, and we're going to talk about the Nashville bombing today as well. Another big development of the weekend. Teddy Roosevelt was famous for citing the old saying, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." Donald Trump has turned that on his head, as far as I can tell. Donald Trump is speak loudly and carry a wet noodle. I mean, I don't know another way to look at the Trump. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016 because he spoke loudly about a lot of things that really kind of resonated with me, a whole lot of things. And he has continued to speak loudly about them as he signs his fourth monstrous spending bill. While he came out, it would tell us we're living in the greatest economy the world has ever known prior to COVID, he was still spending, signing off on trillion-dollar budget deficits. And here's one little statistic I'm going to throw at you, too, that just shows the absolute condescending nature of Congress. They pat themselves on the back for sending every American $600. This is badly needed money, whatever they say. And I know there's a lot of people out there happy to get it. Do you know what Congress makes every week? $8,246. That's what they make a week. That's what the U.S. taxpayers pay them every single week. Over the course of a year, they're going to send you $1,800 and congratulate themselves all the way. It's absolutely stunning, the passivity of the American people, but you're all in the two-party thing. And again, next hour, you want to call in and explain to me why signing this was genius. I'm going to go through a little bit more of the bill, 601-879-0002. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Trigger warning, trigger alert. I am very unhappy with Donald Trump for signing this horrible bill. But Mike, he invoked the 1974 Impoundment Act. It's genius. He's really put him on the hot seat now. Oh, please. How many of these, it's going to happen any day now, stuff are we going to sit here and buy while we waste 4 years, and many of you want to waste 8 years? I keep thinking that that I'm watching this battle between America careening towards socialism and trying to stop it. You don't stop socialism with socialism. I mean, at this point, the best thing you can say about Trump and the Republicans is they are socialist light. Maybe they don't want to go as far as Joe Biden. Certainly not as far as Bernie Sanders. But we've got, I mean, what's not to love in the spending bill that the Republicans just passed, that Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker that Trump put in charge of the Treasury, yes, I say that every time because it's something people should understand. And where do you think this $600, $2,000 is going to go when it goes to the American people? When it comes out of the pocket of everybody making over $95,000 and from our children and the fetuses out there, where do you think that $2,000 is going to go? It's going to end up going to Amazon, credit card balances. I don't know. There's no reaching a lot of people. I know you just so badly want to have a savior. And who am I? Who am I to dare question the amazing Donald Trump? I want to play this clip for you. This is really kind of out of left field, but I heard this commercial. I think it was on Newsmax, on some Newsmax clip, like they played a clip before it. This is a commercial about hearing aids. It's a minute long. I'm going to play the whole thing because you have to kind of listen to it. And then I want you to listen to the very end of this clip. Maybe this will get you outraged like I am about government spending. Listen to this.
Welcome back to Guess the Price. Okay, Johnny, tell our contestants about Eargo.
These top-of-the-line hearing aids from Eargo are straight out of the future. They're rechargeable and virtually invisible in your ears. And you don't need to visit a doctor to get them. They ship right to your door and come with lifetime remote support.
Convenient, right? Guess the price, and they're yours.
$8,000.
Too high.
$6,000.
No.
$5,000.
Too high.
$3,500?
Too high. Eargos are affordable and retail for about half the cost of traditional hearing aids. Unfortunately, nobody won. Johnny, tell our contestants about their lovely parting gift.
It's a Peruvian pan flute.
Well, that's all the time we have for now. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Here it comes. I heard that.
Get free remote hearing checks and consultations by our licensed hearing professionals, all from the comfort of your home. And if you're an active or retired federal employee, you can now get Eargo at no cost to you. Call or go online today. Eargo, hear life to the fullest.
Did you hear that? If you're a current or former government employee, you can get Eargo at no cost to you. Because we'll get the taxpayer to buy your hearing aids for you, too. Absolutely stunning stuff. Part of a commercial. Yes, that's right, taxpayer. You are buying hearing aids for your current and former federal employees. Well, on top of giving them 3 months paid time off for family leave now. Thank goodness for Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump passing paid family leave for all federal employees. You get to pay for their vacation, too. And now, for every government employee making under $95,000, you're also going to send them a check, even though they haven't missed a single paycheck this entire year. I'm going to finish up reading this. We'll move on to the bombing. I'm not getting any calls. 601-879-0002 to tell me why Donald Trump is 4 for 4 on spending massive amounts of money, signing every single one of these giant spending bills, and every single one for the last 4 years has had just as much ridiculous foreign aid in it as this one. Here's what everybody is clinging to if you want to continue to believe that there is a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. As president, I am demanding many rescissions under the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. The act provides that whenever the president, I won't even go into it. It's got a whole bunch of things. It's got a big, long quote from the Impoundment Control Act of 1974. Donald Trump has zero leverage to make them rescind any of that spending stuff. The only people that have got any leverage on this are the American people. If you get outraged enough, if you actually called your Congress critters, maybe they would strip out some of the foreign aid. I would still have a problem with this bill because it is wealth transfer. It is a giant welfare bill. I'm going to read more from Donald Trump's statement on passage on his signing of this bill. He says, I will sign the omnibus and COVID package with a strong message that makes clear to Congress that wasteful items need to be removed. They're not going to do anything. They may do a couple of little symbolic changes here or there, but that's even doubtful because American people won't demand it. But here's the money line here, which Trump has in his explanation of why he's signing, again, his fourth massive spending bill, a giant socialist program. Listen to this. This is almost the definition of socialism. Listen to what Trump says in his signing declaration. I am signing this bill to restore unemployment benefits, and that's essentially UBI, Universal Basic Income. Remember, the government is what shut down the economy in the first place. It wasn't the China virus. It was the government shut the businesses down, and now you're giving them, the people that lost their jobs, unemployment, which is an insurance-based product that people, employers have to pay. But we're juicing it up with $300 of universal basic income that Trump actually did by executive order last time around when the $600 ran out. He says, I am signing this bill to restore unemployment benefits, stop evictions, provide rental assistance, add money for Paycheck Protection Program, return our airline workers back to work, and substantially more money for vaccine distribution and much more. So he's essentially just laying out, what's that, five or six socialist programs that he's definitely signing this for, but he wants that foreign aid everybody got upset about ripped out of there. But he's doing it with no leverage. None. And again, his Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker that is our Treasury Secretary, is the one who wrote this entire bill. His administration wrote the bill, according to Thomas Massie, who probably knows a little bit more about it than you and me. He's going to stop evictions. Well, that's a kick in the seat to anybody who's gone out there and invested in real estate and has got tenants, isn't it? But, you know, when the government's in control and when we've got a king now, you just take it. Just take it, landlords. No more evictions. Our government shut people down, threw them out of work, and now we're going to stop you from collecting. I mean, it's just compounding the problem. He's going to provide rental assistance. Boy, that sounds like a giant welfare program, doesn't it? Add money to the Paycheck Protection Program. Again, the government's what shut us down in the first place. But this is one of my favorite ones in here. Return our airline workers back to work. Add substantially more. Well, that one alone. Return our airline workers back to work. To do what? Obviously, the airlines are not booking enough passengers to hire back those employees. So essentially, the government is just handing the airlines money to pay a bunch of employees that are obviously not necessary. They just ran a Christmas season, luckily a fairly heavily traveled Christmas season, with the employees they had. Why do we have to give them more money? All right, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, you just don't understand that Trump is doing all of this. It's laying a trap, and he's going to drain the swamp.
It's
all about, you know, this bill that all of these senators and congressmen voted on, everything, their votes are recorded now. Now everybody knows who the swamp creatures are.
Yeah, at the 11th
and
hour.
And we're going to get rid of those.
Right. We didn't know anything about this before. I guess the last three massive spending bills full of pork and foreign aid and socialist programs wasn't a clue enough. But this one for sure. I mean, every time I guess this is like the election trap, the sting that was the election, that they were going to bust open all of the election cheating because it was a sting program, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now you're starting to catch on.
I got it.
Now you're catching on. You're a little slow.
I told you. I never got my Trump decoder ring, so I never fully understood the importance of this. But I'm just going to say no. It just doesn't happen
you
that
know,
way.
You know, I don't own any rental properties, but I have a good friend that does. And he's really excited about extending the no. And what he was really thankful for was the fact that the government did not waive his property taxes.
Huh,
so he's still got insurance and property taxes to pay, but he's not collecting any rent.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Isn't that, I mean, absolutely amazing. Well, luckily.
Amazing. And I told him, I said, you know, I just don't understand why I'm not a landlord.
Yeah,
Well,
great program you got going.
There's rental assistance coming out, and there is going to be these stimulus checks so people can But if you got a stimulus check for $2,000 and you were $2,000 behind in your rent, you might consider, hey, I better take that $2,000 and pay it to my landlord. Except for the fact you can't evict somebody anyway, so they'll take that $2,000 and they'll spend it at Amazon instead. That's a hell of a lot more fun when you can't be kicked out of your home.
Well, you can get stuff at Amazon.
Right.
You can't get stuff from your landlord.
Right. You can pimp out that apartment you don't have to pay for anymore. Absolutely unbelievable.
This whole thing is just a joke and sad that we are happy that the taxpayers pay congressmen $8,000 a week and they're going to send you back $1,800.
Yeah.
Total for the year.
Well, I think
that's a hell of an investment right there.
I think my tax protest movement is going to catch some steam under Joe Biden because people might finally start to pay attention. I don't know. Maybe the spending bill has at least shown people where their money's going, but I don't give Trump credit for that. It was people like Rand Paul and Thomas Massey and other people who pointed out. I mean, there were Twitter users out there pointing out this foreign aid stuff in a time. I mean, it highlights it in a time where America is hurting so bad. You would think we'd be able to tell Israel and Ukraine, hey, most years we really try to hook you up. This year, kind of tough on us, so we can't send you any money, but apparently that's too big of an ask.
But, you know, it's a good thing because I saw that beacon of hope for the American people. Bernie Sanders came out, and he told the president that he needed to sign this bill because these people, Americans needed help. And this $600 was going to be the difference.
Well, it's just.
Now, I'm sure Bernie's not going to have to worry about his mortgage note or anything, but all of you schmucks out there,
it's unbelievable.
Bernie Sanders, this beacon of hope for the American public and this champion of the American public, has stood up and is going to get you your $600.
Well, here's the icing on the cake, too. Part of Trump's statement on this thing is, he says the Senate will start the process for a vote that increases checks to $2,000, which, again, I guess we can't. People think if a Republican says that, it's not socialism, but if Bernie Sanders says it is. But anyway, they're going to increase the checks to $2,000, repeals Section 230, and starts an investigation into voter fraud.
but that's just it. He didn't say they were going to do it. He said they're going to start the process.
Right. They're going to investigate it.
The process is what has been kicking our butts for quite some time now.
Well, anybody who believes that the Senate is going to that Trump signed this thing, thinking he's going to get some kind of honest investigation out of the Senate into voter fraud is absolutely, I want to use a different word, I'll just say delusional. Absolutely delusional.
Bat crap crazy is what you are.
That's exactly the phrase I was about to use, but I wasn't quick enough to substitute crap in there for what I wanted to say. Anyway, it's insane. I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Bye.
All right, bye. I don't know what else to say on this show. I honestly don't know what it takes for people to understand. And the thing is that you could have, after the first giant spending bill that Donald Trump signed, you knew the garbage that was in it. He told you. He said, I don't want to sign this bill, and let me put Congress on notice. I'm not signing another one like it. So he raised a flag saying, I mean, we all knew there was wasteful spending, but when you've got the leadership of Donald Trump, then you could have told him, okay, then don't sign the next one. But when he signed the next one, everyone just went quiet. He didn't say a word. You could have held his feet to the fire. You could have held your own elected representatives here in Mississippi or wherever you are listening to the podcast. You could have held their feet to the fire, but you didn't. You've been standing down for 4 years, always waiting for the trap to be sprung. Any minute now, the trap's going to be sprung, and this is all going to fall apart, and the good guys are finally going to win. I don't know. It's the 11th hour. It is not going to happen. We've wasted 4 years. Donald Trump made some tremendous points during his 2016 campaign that did wake some people up. The term rhino has become much more common in political landscape now of Republicans that I turned my back on back in 2004, 2005. But finally, people were waking up to that. The problem is Trump not a rhino now for signing this massive bill? Is that just heresy to even question?
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, one of the things I try to do with this show is try to employ some logic that maybe people haven't thought about before. That's what woke me up, is I heard some things, and I was like, oh, that's kind of true. I hadn't thought about that, and it got me curious, and I started paying attention to more things, and then I was like, oh, okay, we've been getting screwed. Both parties. I thought it was just those Democrats, but it's both. The Democrats definitely still screwing everybody. The Republicans are doing their just a different kind. And so here's a logical fallacy here. I'm going to read some Twitter responses, since I'm not getting a lot of calls to carry water for this massive spending bill. So this is what people are going to latch on to if they want to justify how Trump is a genius and what he's done here with this with signing this pork-laden bill. Again, it's his fourth, and it would be a little different to me if he had held the line for the last 3 years, but he felt that 2020 was something special and we needed to do these things because of the pain out in society, even though I would again argue, well, it's the government that inflicted the pain, so you don't get any credit for me for trying to put a little duct tape on parts of it with $600 or $2,000. But if he had been some kind of a deficit hawk over 4 years, but he hasn't been. He's been running trillion-dollar deficits. He hadn't said boo the last 2 years, and he signed the first one without any, except for just some cross words. Donald Trump talks a big game. There's no doubt about that. He sent out a tweet the other day that I thought was one of his best ever. Here it is. I hope we never find life on other planets, because there's no doubt that the U.S. government will start sending them money. That's a genius tweet. Very, very funny and very accurate, really, isn't it? Problem is, then he ends up signing the bill, giving a bunch of foreign countries money. Oh, he's going to invoke this the impoundment rule of 1974. I'm going to read a couple of responses to it, because I'm going to tell you how people twist their logic here. Okay, one guy tweeted this. Perhaps I'm wrong, but my initial impression is that Trump ultimately caved and his formal rescission requests will be rebuffed by Congress, who have shown no allegiance to the president, American people, or rule of law. If someone has more insight, I'm open to it. This is what this guy tweeted. So what you have there is you have a Trump supporter just looking at it and just going, I don't know. This kind of feels like he caved. Let me tell you, Murray, you're right. He did cave. Now, here is the twisted logic people will use, because you want to excuse. People just get so invested in either parties or politicians. Both of you, on the right and the left, people that carry water for Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. You just fall in love and you just try to twist your logic into a pretzel. Here's what somebody said. He didn't cave. He approved it after, all caps after, he approved it after all of the people saw the bill, what the bill really contained. He wanted the people to see the truth. Now, let me tell you what the myriad of things wrong with that. Number one, he's not the one that brought all the pork to the attention of the American people. That went out in the alternative media. That went out on Twitter. That went out from Thomas Massie and Rand Paul. Rand Paul's been doing this for the last 4 years and longer, but during Trump's entire administration, the people have had every opportunity to see the pork. But we all know there's pork in these bills. And Donald Trump has signed every single one of them, and he's not the one that called attention to it this first time. Now, it was a good political calculation for him to come out against it once the people were already outraged because other people told him. And again, here's another part of this that is wrong. It was his Treasury Secretary the former Goldman Sachs banker, Steven Mnuchin, who negotiated this bill. He put, so by this person's logic, MJ Marino, by this person's logic, Donald Trump instructed his Treasury Secretary to inject a bunch of the regular pork, the same pork that he's been signing off on for 4 years. He told Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker, hey, put a bunch of welfare and pork into this bill so that we can expose it. Does that really make any sense to you? Because that's what they've been doing for the last 4 years. And it was exposed. It's just people didn't really care because they're in love with Donald Trump and he could do no wrong. He signed every single one of them, just like he signed this one. But his administration was at the table of this thing. And she finishes with, he wanted the people to see the truth. Did he? If the alternate media, if the Twitter users, if Thomas Massey and Rand Paul and other congresspeople out there who are incensed by this pork hadn't brought it up, I'll bet you Donald Trump would have just signed this thing and patted himself on the back for saying, look, we're getting help to the American people and we're getting those airline workers back to work. Back to work doing what? I'm not really sure because obviously they don't need them right now. This is insane. Absolutely insane. And to watch people try to support this, to twist, please stop calling yourselves conservatives. Please. Just do me that one favor. You continue to support what you want to support, but don't pretend you're for the Constitution and you're somehow a conservative, fiscally responsible. Don't quit. Just call yourself a rhino. Just admit that rhino is the way. Make rhino cool. Maybe rhino could become something new. Hip, this is topsy-turvy world. We can take bad terms and turning them into good terms at the flip of a coin. You're a rhino if you support this bill. You're a rhino if you support Donald Trump signing this bill. Just admit it. If we could just at least be honest with ourselves for a minute. I'll be right back. We'll talk about Nashville bombing when we come back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Tell me where I'm wrong on being upset with Donald Trump for signing another pork-laden bill. Tell me how sure you are that Congress is going to strip out all that wasteful spending, because, you know, that's what Congress does. They're good stewards of our money, Mike. And Trump has got a ton of leverage on him. He's essentially got, what, 3-4 weeks left in the presidency? If he doesn't do something and do something fairly quick, oh, I know, January 6th is the day. It's about the fourth day, air quotes here in the studio, that something big was supposed to happen. But I just don't play this game. And really, my main thing, look, you'll love me during the Biden administration because I'm going to do the exact same stuff on this show. I won't change, but a lot of you will change to like me because you don't like Joe Biden. And so criticisms of him will be wildly popular should he become our next president. See, I don't change. Trump changed. His campaign rhetoric is markedly different from where he governed. And my big thing is I'd like to see us not make this mistake again of falling in love with someone and thinking there's some kind of a top-down solution to the problems we have in this country. There is no top-down solution. Oh, I voted for Donald Trump. I thought maybe we'd see some people get jailed, some people who really deserve some jail time. Maybe there'd be some more rule of law at the top. That would be nice because it does discourage people from doing illegal and ethical and moral things at the governmental level if some of them actually do some prison time, but that didn't happen. But I certainly wasn't looking for a savior to come in and save the economy and create every job. He said some things I liked during 2016. He didn't deliver on any of the things that I like. But the bottom line is, look, there is no top-down solution. There is no savior out there. If you think Trump really did try, and I'm not even convinced of that, but if you think he really tried and just couldn't get through, then we better think of something else, because you think somebody else is going to be better? The solutions are going to come from the ground up the same way they are in New York and Los Angeles right now with the lockdowns and stuff. People aren't waiting to elect the next mayor. Yeah, we're going to get a really good mayor in this next time. No, they are just saying no. Being told they need to lock down this New Jersey gym that's got $1.2 million as of last calculation. I'm sure it's probably around 1.5 by now. Over $1 million in fines. They don't care. They just keep opening. That's how the change is going to come up. From the very bottom up. But as long as the bottom is in love with the top, nothing changes. And this bill that was just signed should prove it to you, although I know it will not to many people. There was a study out, really just, I mean, is this even possible? A study came out about people in screen time. Did you see this thing? The one poll survey of 2,000 adults commissioned by Vision Direct looked at the average amount of time spent on various devices throughout the day. The results reveal the typical American spends 4 hours and 30 minutes watching TV, 4 hours and 33 minutes looking at a smartphone, over 3 hours using a gaming device, and nearly 5 hours on a laptop. Altogether, Americans are spending a whopping 17 hours and 9 minutes looking at digital devices every day. Over a full year, that adds up to just over 6,259 hours of a total screen time. When to stretch that out over the average 60 years Americans live as adults, you're looking at 44 years of staring at a screen. Holy crap. I am going to reassess my own life because, look, I spend a lot of time doing research for the show and reading through the news and reading stories online. I don't do the gaming part of it. I do watch some movies and documentaries and things. I'm going to start judging because when I first looked at that, I was initially just repulsed and said, there's just no way that that's possible. And I started looking at my day. I'm looking at a screen right now here in the studio. And I was looking at a screen this morning when I first woke up. I take a few minutes. Sometimes I meditate first and get my coffee done and stuff. But then I'm into the news to see what happened overnight, get ready for the show. And when I leave here, it won't be long before I'm on the internet again looking to see what's going on to prepare for a show again tomorrow. It's actually a lot of work to do this show. But if this is the case, I am seriously going to do some reassessing of my own life if I'm staring at a screen as much as that. Boy, we are missing a lot of what could be a wonderful world and time with actual human beings, 17 hours a day. This doesn't account for commute time. If it takes you an hour of driving around just to get to and from work into the grocery store, that takes you up to about 18 hours, and you got to assume that most people get 5 to 6 hours of sleep. What do we got, 1 hour a day of interpersonal time? No wonder we're all insane at this point. Speaking of insane, we'll take a look. There was this bombing in Nashville. Now, this has been very interesting to me. What's interesting is the narrative that is coming out of it. Look, I'm like everybody else. I'm questioning the official story. But again, this certainty of everyone knows exactly what happened and why it happened. It was Dominion servers. It was this. It was that. I don't know. You may be right. But the certainty of people within a day of this thing fitting it so tidily into your own narrative of what has already transpired and what, look, you may be completely right. I just caution people over this certainty of taking YouTubers parsing through this stuff. It was interesting. I was looking at, I like these theories. Look, I'm all about the conspiracy theory. All kinds of horrible things happen, and they are by design and sold to us in a different package. I'm a big person who does not believe the official story in 9/11, but I also say I don't know exactly what happened, but I know what they're told us is not exactly what happened, and I point to World Trade Center 7. If you don't know about it, go look at it. WTC 7. That just should never go away. But I was watching some YouTuber, and the very opening thing of it said, you know, basically, hey, thanks for watching. I think the curtains pulled back in the beginning of the video, and it said, go to my Patreon account and send me money, please. I thought, well, I do understand why some people love to get, because the The people that are easily led are also easily bled. I just made that up. But it has been interesting. Right now, nobody knows exactly what has happened. A couple of things that struck me from this story, which are different than you'll hear everywhere else. Again, I don't know if this was about Dominion or vote tallying or that stuff. I wouldn't put it past them for a minute. Not for a minute would I put that past them. But it's still too early in this to know. We don't know what happened in the Las Vegas shooting. They dropped that story like a hot potato. It was 10 days. I was on air when that thing happened. And I remember watching it, kind of looking around. It was the biggest story in the world for about 5 days. One of the top stories for the next 5 days, and then crickets. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I liked the story about the fact that there was an attempt on the Saudi king's life. This was during the time the Saudi king was locking up a bunch of people in the Ritz-Carlton in Saudi Arabia. They showed some footage of somebody very important going through a casino with, surrounded by armed guards pointing guns at people in the casino. But the bottom line is, we didn't know then. We still don't know exactly what happened with the Las Vegas shooting. Still have no motive whatsoever. None. Now, they are ascribing a motive to this guy with the Nashville bombing, and this appears to be the narrative that will surface. And boy, will this be a handy one for him. He was against 5G. He was paranoid against 5G. This was a lone nut job who's just scared of 5G, and look what he did. All of you crazy people out here, this is how dangerous it is to be scared of 5G. It turns you into a raving lunatic that bombs buildings. You're all nuts, people. Look at this madman. Now, here's a problem that I see with that narrative. If you were really against 5G, if you were paranoid against 5G, if you were lashing out against 5G for that specific purpose in targeting AT&T and 5G, wouldn't you maybe broadcast that pretty strongly? Maybe leave a giant note somewhere? Maybe during your warning recording that apparently was going off in this camper? Don't you think the warning recording, which was quite professional, by the way, I don't know where they got that warning, but it certainly sounded kind of difficult for some lone weirdo to do. But anyway, not impossible. He was supposedly a computer guy. But don't you think maybe during the warning you'd say, everybody get away. I'm doing this for humanity. They're trying to launch 5G against us. I'm going to take out one of the nodes. At the very least, wouldn't you post a manifesto? Now, they may be putting one together right now so that they can discredit the entire anti-5G movement, of which I am a part. I'm not anti-technology. I'm just a little, I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need my toaster to talk to my toilet, which is this Internet of Things they're trying to roll out. Enough already with the technology. I just read you 17 hours a day on a screen. I think we're computerized enough. So I don't want 5G, and I am concerned with the health effects of 5G. I don't know for certain if there are health effects, but I do know maybe we want to slow down a tad bit. If you've noticed, each of these new lurches with technology over the past 30 or 40 years has not particularly made us happier, wealthier, more well-adjusted. So I'm all for kind of slowing down technology, and when it comes to the health effects of any kind of these radiation that's running around, there certainly are studies that show that this may not be good for us. So I'm happy to slow it down. But they are going to try to discredit everybody who has an objection to 5G by citing this bomber. But if this bomber was against 5G, he would have said it. You don't just do this and leave it as a mystery as to why you did it. Because you would think a crazy person against 5G would want to mobilize a movement against 5G to show his commitment to it, to point out the dangers to the rest of humanity. Wouldn't you think he might want to do that? Yet nothing from him. So this is a narrative that's going to arise from this thing, it looks like. And I certainly am suspect of that. As for the rest of it, the targeting of Dominion systems and the nodes, and it caused the server to crash and the coolant system to go down somewhere, I don't know. That's possible. It's just the certainty with which people already know exactly what this was all about and how it happened, and was it the truck that blew up, and it was actually a bomb somewhere else? I don't know. You would think that we would know. There was a lot about a missile attack. This was a missile. Some YouTuber put out something. Look, you can see a contrail of a missile. They called it a chemtrail. Sloppiness with terms is aggravating to me. That's not what that would be. But the thing about that is, and so I always try to use my logic. Look, I am ready to accept anything that we find out is just abject corruption and wanton destruction of something that might have proved to be a smoking gun in the election story. I'm ready for that stuff. I just want it proved. I don't jump on to conspiracy theories right up front when they don't make sense. The missile didn't make sense to me because, don't you think, this thing was sounding an alarm for, I think, an hour? That was a lot of people paying attention to that particular area. It's not like it was everybody was asleep and nobody was doing anything, and then out of the blue this explosion came. No, there were a lot of people paying attention to this one particular area. You mean to tell me not one single one of them said, oh my God, I heard a missile? I don't know. I've never really been around a missile coming in or going out. It's my impression they make a little bit of noise. So that's my first question of that. Could it have been? I don't know. Maybe so. The little contrail is interesting to look at, but I certainly don't jump on that saying that I know for sure. All I say is if people would just take a minute, take a breath, let people, some people do some decent investigations, but jumping on every YouTuber who's got the latest conspiracy theory and being sure that you know exactly what happened. Look, I don't trust the media. You can almost be assured that whatever the media comes out with at the end of this is 90% wrong, peppered with a little bit of truth to give you something to cling on to, but probably lying to us about a whole host of things. I think that's almost a given at this point. But I don't know exactly what happened. Well, I'm not going to say that I do anytime in the first couple of days after an event. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, I've only got a few minutes. I'm going to tie a couple of these stories I've covered today between Trump signing that ridiculous pork-laden bill and this technology aspect of them trying to discredit anybody who has an objection to 5G. This story seems to do that and shows the true insanity of the world we're living in right now. Rand Paul, his Festivus report, he goes in and talks about the pork. See, he does this every year because he's a libertarian, and libertarians actually believe what they talk about with spending. They actually believe it. That's the difference between a Republican and a libertarian, is that we actually mean it. It doesn't matter the letter behind the name of the people who sign or craft huge spending bills. That doesn't matter to us. It's actually the spending that is the problem. So Rand Paul's Festivus report has an entry for $6,973,057 to develop a smart toilet. Now listen to this. Researchers at Stanford University have used funds from a grant through the National Cancer Institute, an institute of National Institutes of Health, worth $6,973,057, to create what they call a smart toilet. The purpose, as researchers put it, is to develop, quote, easily deployable hardware and software for the long-term analysis of a user's excreta through data collection and models of human health. So what makes this toilet smart? The toilet operates with artificial intelligence, includes three cameras, including one video camera, and features a urinalysis strip. The toilet's AI collects the health data and then stores it in a digital cloud system. This just gets worse and worse. So how does it work? Well, the user would sit on the toilet, and the hardware's three cameras would use biometric identifiers to securely associate the collected data with the user's identity, such as fingerprinting and a distinctive method of using anal creases, referred to here as anal print. Oh my God. Oh, that's right. $7 million of taxpayer dollars is going to a smart toilet that will identify you by your rear end with cameras in your toilet so they can store your biometrical data that is collected from your poop. The toilet has three proposed uses. First, to track 10 biomarkers in urine. Second, to measure voiding time, time to max flow rate, and voided volume. And third, to monitor defecation and stool classification, which can assist in analyzing overall bowel function. So there you go. Your government hard at work. Your National Institute of Health spending taxpayer dollars to get you some cameras in your toilet because, I don't know, would that count as screen time? You could actually be double dipping on screen time when you're in the toilet and you're on your smartphone and you're being videotaped from below in the nether regions. This was in this latest spending bill that Donald Trump just passed. And I would assume that the toilets will need that 5G connectivity to make sure that your anal print is uploaded to the federal government and they know the consistency of your waste. We are completely out of control as a society and with this government. It is time to defund it, and I think that needs to come from the personal level. Again, I think I'll have a much more easier time selling you on that when it's during a Biden presidency. The idea that your taxpayer dollars will be wasted on any of this stuff is absolutely, should be an absolute outrage. But in the meantime, you're going to get your little stimulus check. Make sure you find yourself somebody who makes over $95,000 and shake their hand and thank them. Thank them for your Christmas, your 2020 bonus that will come out of their pockets and into yours. Because that's the new socialism light of the United States. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.